John makes a statement concerning Christ Jesus in John, the first chapter. And he says in verse 4 and 5, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And he speaks of John the Baptizer, that he came as a witness for the light in verse 7, that all men through him might believe. He, John the Baptizer, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. From a child, I'm sure that we all memorized passages concerning light. And there's been 1,000 sermons in connection with light. And there is such an importance in connection with light that's presented in Scripture that we need not miss. And I asked the question this evening in the title of this lesson. I actually make the statement, "Let your light shine. Let your light shine." And I ask that from this standpoint, but what kind of light do you have? What sort of light is shining in your life? What are you putting forth? Think about it this way with me. What is your light? Is it a searchlight? There are those in the world, just as mentioned by Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verses 7 through 9, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproving concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. And there are those that continue to go to God's Word, but really they don't have the light, they don't understand the light, and the light is not seen in them because they're using searchlights for something that fits their own ideology and, as the world says, their own theology. Preconceived concepts that exist within their minds of what God expects, and really what it is what we want God to expect from that standpoint. So they use searchlights. They're ever learning but never able to come to the truth. Remember the Jews during Jesus' day. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. It was a condemnation against the Jews that Jesus spoke those words, because he was not recognized by the one that was expressed from the light that was given through Moses in connection with the coming of the Messiah. There are those, I have no idea how that happened. There are those also, I believe, that is mentioned here in connection with the searchlights that they use, Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness, of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. There are those that are out there with searchlights that when something is mentioned, and mentioned from God's Word, at least the way that it is proposed, and it tantalizes the ears and the imaginations, well, then they put their searchlight on. That's what I want to find. That's what I want. That's what I like. And they use the searchlights in connection with that. That which appeals then to the base part of man rather than to that which is spiritual. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. Remember, Timothy had been given instruction by Paul in verse 2. Preach the word. Be constant, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And here was the reason why. There were those with the searchlights, again, searching for what sounded good. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned into fable. I find it really interesting the wording that Paul gives here to Timothy concerning these that say they're preaching God's word. And actually all they are people that, men that tickle the ears of the hearers. And those that want that, I find it so interesting. He says they will heap up for themselves teachers. There will always be someone in line to teach that which will tantalize the ears of men and women rather than the accusations, instructions, and profound wisdom that is found in God's Word. And so they use searchlights to seek those type out, rather than understanding what God's Word says. Ephesians 1 and verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The Word that we have provides light then to our understanding of what God would have us to do. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, true light that comes from God, that comes from Christ Jesus, as we read in John the first chapter. That true light that is in the world today. And not only to understand, but also to accept it. And there's the key, I think, in our world today. There is that word that is taught, but is there always the acceptance of that word? And we see in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, there'd be those that would look at that and say, well, that's a good suggestion. That's a command. Well, how can I understand what the Lord's will is? Because He made it simple. It's based on truth. It's based on light. It is not in small print, fine print. It is in words of wisdom from God that is understandable, not only understandable, but also doable. And so when we think about that, we don't use searchlights when presented the truth. When the truth is presented before us, we're not looking for something else. We're looking for the truth that has been given, and whenever it is given to us, then we understand it, we take it, we accept it. But also there are those that use night lights. And you think about that when you go back, and I need to get rid of that. Bear with me one moment. There we go. There are those that will always be in the darkness. And when we look over in Ephesians 5, verse 6 through 11, let no one deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But there are those that just glory in the dark. And the reason being is that the things that they do are hidden. And the things that they do is what they revel in. That's what they want to do. That which is hidden, that which satisfies, that which is not seen, that which goes back to the basic instinct of the animal creature rather than the spiritual one that looks unto God. And so they use night lights, so to speak, in their conduct in life. We look over in Colossians 1 and verse 13. We see that what has taken place or should have taken place in the lives of those that are Christians. For He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And that kingdom that's mentioned there, whenever you look at this passage, you have to come to the conclusion is the kingdom is light. The kingdom is light. We see in 1 John 1 verses 5 through 10. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. I was being treated by a doctor one time, and he knew that I was a preacher. And he had treated me for quite some period of time, and we'd started talking about things that were religious. And one day, during one of my office visits, he said, I need to ask you something, and I want it to be confidential. I said, okay. He said, do you really believe the Bible? I mean, you know, there are those that are paying your salary, and I'm sure you're making them happy and everything, but with what you're saying. But really, do you really believe the Bible? And I said, yes, I really do. It's not from the standpoint of I'm doing something under the table a nightlight of living one way and then doing something else during the day whenever I go to church services. I said, what about you? And he didn't reply. And he went back to working on me. But he didn't reply anymore. And that's sad. He was really using a nightlight. He was hiding his true feelings in the way that he presented himself. And only in a situation where he felt comfortable at the time was he able to express what his true feelings were. But as soon as they were exposed, he shut down. He wanted to go back again with the nightlight and be that which was not detected. It's a shame, isn't it? And there are those that are out there that are like that. Rather, we are to be of the day. We see in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 and 8, you are the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor or of the darkness. But let us who are of the day be calm, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and hope of salvation for a helmet. And that's what we are to be, not hiding, not groping in darkness, but rather seen and in the forefront because we are preaching the gospel of Christ Jesus. We are living, as children of God, the gospel of Christ Jesus. So we should not have our conduct where we are groping around with nightlights. We are to be what we truly say we are as children of God. There are those also that like to use a stoplight. And we think about that from the checking of the box standpoint. This is what Paul says to the Corinthians with their attitude that they had. Remember, there had been divisions and was being divisions at the time and so forth. And there wasn't growth spiritually. And they were glorying in sin. And they weren't remembering the Lord the way that they should in connection with His death. And so many other things that we discussed in our class this morning. And he says, and I, brothers, could not speak unto you as spiritual ones, but as to fleshly, as to babes. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for you were not able to bear it, nor are you able even now, for you are yet carnal. For in that there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? And do you not walk according to men? For while one says, I am Paul and I am Apollos, are you not carnal? And in a sense, what he's accusing them of here is that they put on the stoplight of truly hearing God's word and growing in it. And I've had it expressed to me in connection with the work that I do as a proclaimer of God's word. There's just too much Bible presented by some preachers. They need to get away from presenting so much Bible. There's just too much Bible. And it's like a stoplight. Think about that. Isaiah 30, verses 9 through 11. This is Israel. This is the attitude that Israel had that was made an accusation against by Isaiah, God through Isaiah. He says, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. They will not hear. They put a stoplight on. We don't want to hear. And this is how it is expressed. Who say to the seers, do not see. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Put a stoplight on the truth. Put a stoplight on what God expects from you. And there are those that are like that are in the world. Rather, we are to be progressing. And we see that as presented by Peter, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 10. But also in this very thing, bringing in all diligence, filling out your faith with virtue, and with virtue knowledge, with knowledge self-control, with self-control patience, and with patience godliness, and with godliness brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you are neither idle or barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he in whom these things are not present, that is that growth, those that have put the stoplight on, he says, they're blind. They cannot see afar off and have forgotten that they were purged from his sins. Therefore, brothers, rather be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. But there are those that as soon as it starts to get a little bit personal, then the stoplight comes on as far as they're concerned. They hear no more. Speak to us no more of the Holy One of Israel, the God of heaven. Think about this. Don't employ the stoplight, but rather use the light to grow, just as Peter said. There are those that also use spotlights, and that's self-glory. We look over in Matthew 6, verse 1 and 2. Take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father in heaven, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And unfortunately, this is being seen even among Christians, where there is outward action by which those that partake in that, this outward action of something with the body, make it as though they are saying to others, we're now more righteous. We're now more righteous. And what Jesus said in connection with this, these things that are outward, whenever they do that, they've received their reward, because the expectation is in their minds at least, will all be considered more pious. And really, the spotlight comes on them rather than coming on Christ Jesus. Matthew 23, verses 5 through 7, concerning the Pharisees and the scribes. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. There were some grand gospel preachers back in the early part of the 1900s, on up into the 1950s, that were just amazing preachers that knew the Word of God so well. And some of them got caught up in this spotlight aspect. And I have an autobiography of one of them at the house. And in that autobiography, there's page after page after page of him making a presentation that who it was that he met that was of renown and famous in America. He met the true Perry Mason. He dined with presidents and governors. He met with the highly educated scientific world. And he made that presentation in his autobiography in connection with really, as I saw it, and especially as his life went on, where he really turned away from the truth. He put the spotlight on himself. He put the spotlight on, well, it was, look at who I knew. Look at who I know. And people do that. They prize highly, quite often, that particular thought. The ones that they know. Rather, let Christ be seen in us. That's exactly what Paul says when we look in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, and loved me and gave Himself for me. Whenever I think about that, Jesus also mentioned those that He knew, or those that He saw. And He's sitting at the tribute box at the temple. And this one poor widow comes by and cast in everything that she has as far as her livelihood is concerned. And Jesus calls His disciples over and says, do you see her? She put glory to God, because the rich have come in and they have cast in great amounts of money, but they did not give even a pittance in comparison to what this woman gave, because she gave it all. The spotlight was not on herself, the spotlight was on her God. It's a shame, but people get involved in wanting to put the spotlight on themselves. When we look over in Philippians 3, verse 7 through 11, if there was ever a Christian that had a reason to put a spotlight on himself from the standards of the world, it was Paul. And he says there, but what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. He had just got through talking. If you have anywhere to trust as far as things in this life, I even the more. I can give my lineage, which goes all the way back to Abraham. I can do that. Can you do that? Not only that, I also had the training sitting at the feet of the master trainer of the day, Gamaliel. I sat at his feet. I became part of the strictest sect, the Pharisees. I kept the law perfectly when I found myself in condition where I needed to sacrifice. I did what was required of me. I count all of that but loss, he says. It is all rubbish. And the reason being is so that Christ may be glorified. See, he didn't put a spotlight on himself. Oh, he could have. But he didn't do that. Don't put a spotlight on yourself. It's not about us. It's about our Savior. Then there are those that will use the light of the glorious gospel to live and conduct themselves by, and give glory of God's word by their conduct to others. When we look in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter verses 3 through 6, but even if our gospel is hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age have blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel, or the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has borne in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It wasn't about Paul's learning. It wasn't about his upbringing. It wasn't about his education. It was about what the Lord required of him, his understanding in that, and then presenting it to others. He was using the light of the glorious gospel in his life and giving that light then to others also. We see in Acts 26 and verse 18, to open the eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And we look at that. And we understand that's what the gospel is about, but if it is shining in any other way other than through the glorious gospel, that's not the outcome. There's not forgiveness. We use God's word, that glorious gospel, to shine upon others. We wear the armor of light as children of God. When we look over in Romans 13, chapter verse 11 and 12, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That's the glorious gospel right there. It not only will it illuminate our way, it will illuminate the way of others that come in contact with us. We think about this also from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. I'll tell you, none can stand unless that armor is on. And doing all to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And we take that armor of light that Paul mentions not only in Romans 13, but also he mentions here in Ephesians the 6th chapter, again, to illuminate our way so that we don't stumble, so that we see the pitfalls that Satan puts before us, but also it illuminates the way for those that will listen to God's word. We think about that. Let the word of Christ reflect off us. Jesus says this, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. You know, you think about this, and quite often the Christian, in their humble attitude of themselves, will often, I think, express the idea, we're not much. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We're not much. We started out just as everyone else, and all that's true. We're not much, but you know, we're something greater in the eyes of God. Mentioned it this morning from Romans 8, chapter verses 14 through 17. You are not only children of God, you're sons of God. You're heirs of God, and you're heirs with Christ. And do you know that by taking the gospel, which is committed to those that are children of God, we as children of God, not from an arrogant standpoint, but from the standpoint of fact, truth, and light, are the hope of the world. Not from arrogance, but where else will the truth come from other than God's people? That's taking His Word, the light. And so because of that, I ask the question this afternoon. Which light do you use in your life? There's a lot of them that are out there. The searchlight, the night light, stoplight, the spotlight. Or are you using in your conduct the light of the glorious gospel? Because, number one, you do care about being in Christ Jesus and having the hope of heaven. But also, because you are a child of God, you care about others. And you want that light to shine unto them. Are we exactly what Christ mentioned there? Are we a city set on the hill? Do we let our light shine? Or is it some other light by the devices of human desire rather than the wisdom of God? If you've not been living as a Christian the way that you should, come back, enter into that light, and once again, let that light reflect off of you, that light that is Christ Jesus, and start living for Him. If you desire the prayers of the saints, we're ready and willing to pray with you and for you. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.